I'm reading today from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. This ends the reading. 18 years ago, my wife and I were married at King Avenue United Methodist Church in Columbus, Ohio. It was our college campus church that we met at. I remember the hymn that we chose for our wedding. After we were married, we asked one of our friends to sing, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place." It's one of my favorite hymns. As I think about the words of this beloved hymn, I wonder what the hymn writer means when he says, "in this place." The scriptures point to at least four different places where the presence of the Lord resides. If we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, to the first chapters, it is there that we learn about a place called the Garden of Eden. It is in the Garden of Eden that God formed man and woman in God's own image. It is in the Garden of Eden where people could fully enjoy the presence of God. The Garden of Eden is the place where God establishes a righteous relationship with us, a relationship of hope and peace. The Garden of Eden is called paradise because God's presence is there. A few weeks ago, the Open Door Sunday School class went to the Caesars Creek campground for worship. It was a moving experience having the trees and the lake as the backdrop for our worship service. I know some of you enjoy riding on the bike path. You may experience the presence of God and the beauty of the trees and of the farmland near it. If you've ever gone to Henderson Settlement, you know that the beauty of creation surrounds the settlement in all directions. Each place is a little like paradise because God is there. Where have you seen the presence of God in creation? I can take answers, but just one word answers. In birds?
Birth.
At birth, yes. Speak up, please.
Children.
Farms. In the forest. Mountaintops. Oceansides. Unfortunately, paradise came undone in the fall, capital F. When sin entered the world, we alienated ourselves from God, and we forced God to exile us from God's presence. It was no longer possible for people to be safely in the presence of God after the fall. Angels were placed as guards in the Garden of Eden to prevent the first people from re-entering the place where God's presence dwelt. From creation to the time of Moses, people did not experience directly the presence of God. It wasn't until after God delivered the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt that God revealed a design to Moses on Mount Sinai for a tabernacle. The tabernacle was a traveling sanctuary designed in the likeness of the Garden of Eden. There's a picture of it up on the screen. Pictures of angels were woven on the outer veil of the tabernacle to represent the angels standing guard in the Garden of Eden. In the holy place just inside the outer veil were three important objects: the golden lamp, the table for the bread of the presence, and the altar of incense. Within the holy place, the priests studied the law. They learned how to live a godly life. They taught the Hebrew people how to be a priestly nation. They lifted up the prayers of the people, and they made an offering to God. The actual presence of God resided in a place called the Holy of Holies. God's presence was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. All 12 tribes of Israel camped around the tabernacle, so the presence of God was the focal point and the center of their community. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. For the ancient Hebrews, that was the tabernacle. I am fascinated with how many elements of worship that they had thousands of years ago that we still practice today in the Christian church. We have an altar, candles, we use bread at communion, we lift up prayers for the people, study God's words, we make our offering. I believe that we will experience the presence of God in our worship service when we make God the focal point of what we do. So I can take, where in worship do you experience the presence of God? I can take one word answers again. Communion. Very good. In the music. In the scripture reading. Baptisms. Prayers. For me, it's communion. When, especially by intinction. And I'm serving and people come up when I can offer the bread. I can see the glory of God in each person's face as they come up. It fills my heart with joy. What is the most important building in the world? The Statue of Liberty, the Great Wall of China, Eiffel Tower, my house. No, I'm just kidding. To me it is. Not Ohio Stadium. It's, in my opinion, it's the Jerusalem Temple. Certainly there are other greater and grander structures. However, the Jerusalem Temple is the only place that God designed. And it is the first permanent building where God's presence chooses to dwell. Built in the year 957 BC, the Jerusalem Temple was the permanent home for the tabernacle. King David brought the tabernacle to Jerusalem and he purchased the threshing floor on which the temple was built. His son, King Solomon, built the temple and dedicated it to God. For the nation of Israel, during the time of the kings, the presence of God resided in the temple. God designed the temple to give the people an earthly visual of heavenly worship. The sacrificial system that was in place during the time of the temple represented how God relates to people. Once a year, the high priest entered the place in the temple called the Holy of Holies. This place was veiled from the holy place where the altar, bread, and lampstand were kept. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies and offer the blood of a sacrificed animal to atone for the sins of the people. The word atone means to make right. The high priest used blood because life is in blood. To make one's life right with God, blood had to be used as the sacrifice. The movement of the high priest from the Hebrew people into the Holy of Holies and then back out again represents the movement of the Hebrew people from brokenness and sin to restoration to wholeness. In this act, fellowship was restored as it was originally intended between God and humanity. Even to this day, the Temple Mount is a place of holy pilgrimage for people from around the world. This was a place set apart by God for worship. So my question is, I think worship is the focal point of what we do at Faith Community, but there also are things beyond worship where the presence of God is, like our mission trip. I believe God's presence is with them on their trip. Where else do you see the presence of God outside of worship? in our church? Just one word answer, please. Homes, in our homes, yes. Common cup.
Hospitals.
Vacation Bible school. VBS. This week we had a service for Peggy Roberts, a funeral service, and I felt the presence of God with us as we celebrated her life. When Jesus came from heaven to earth, he came as our great high priest. As the book of Hebrews says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. I'm talking about temple theology. Jesus acting as our high priest. He does two things. First, at the moment of his death on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This means that Jesus, acting on our behalf as high priest, removed the barrier that separates the people from God. Now, all through Christ, may experience the presence of God. Second, Jesus gives himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world in all times and in all places. The animal sacrificial system is no longer necessary. The blood of Christ is offered as a ransom for many. All are forgiven through the blood of Christ. What does this mean for us today? And I'll take one word answers. Where have you felt the presence of God in your heart and in your life? In your grandchildren. Celebrations. And when people are forgiven.
Answered prayers.
One word answer. One word. One word.
Wednesday.
Met a neighbor. Good. It means where once God's presence lived in the temple, now through Christ, God's presence lives in you. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul writes, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Your heart is God's sanctuary. Your life is God's temple." If you ever forget where God's presence is today, just look in a mirror. Surely the presence of God is in creation. God created the earth and all that is in it. Creation is God's original sanctuary. Surely the presence of the Lord is in our worship. The tabernacle helps us remember to make God the focus of our lives and to center our community around him. Surely the presence of the Lord is in our church. Like the first temple, this is a place set apart in the world for God's people. Surely the presence of the Lord is in your life. Christ is our great high priest. Christ removes the barrier so the presence of God can live in you. You are the masterpiece of God's creation. God loves you. God forgives you. The Spirit of God lives in you. Open your hearts to God today. May your life be built on a solid foundation.